Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, and I see I left a semicolon out, or a colon out, so that should be 3:2. I think it's right on your sheet, but I got the slide mixed up. But we're looking at the last verse of chapter 10, and then the first two verses of chapter 3. Last week we talked about Jonah's prayer. And even as we go into today's lesson, he really seems sincere, and I don't know Jonah's heart. It would be wrong to judge his motives. We were kind of tough on him last week, saying perhaps he was just praying to get himself out of a pickle. But on the other hand, perhaps he was very sincere. And sometimes, as we said last week, there's no atheists in potholes. And sometimes when you find yourself in a situation, part of it might be, I want to get rescued, but just as much as it's part of that, there may be equal part that says, I'm really serious about this and I need the Lord's help. And so I don't know what Jonah's heart was. As I said last week, when we get to chapter 4, we see him waffling again. And that's kind of why I said what I said. But today we're going to see maybe a little flip side of that. And let's go ahead and read these verses. So last week we looked at all of chapter 2 except verse 10. And today we're going to see verse 10, then go on into chapter 3. So verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Can you get a visual of that? Like in your mind, like, oh. He vomited him out on dry land. Then chapter 3, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah," isn't this precious? "The second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." Okay, we'll stop there. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for our time this morning. Help us to learn more about you and about our own Christian lives from the life of Jonah. And we'll certainly thank you for it. Amen. Well, one of the aims of the lesson today is for us to learn this very important lesson, that is, not to get sidetracked, not to get bogged down, not to get derailed or delayed in our Christian journey. And so often that can happen. If we let it happen, that certainly can happen. It can happen through sin. It can happen through distraction. Lots of different ways that gets us sidetracked on the main thing that the Lord has for us. And of course, as we relate that to the story of Jonah, God clearly said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh. Here's the mission I have for you. I have a task. I have an assignment. I have a mission. I have a plan, a purpose for you. And here's what it is." And of course, Jonah said no. Jonah allowed his disobedience and his sin, if you please, to sidetrack him, to derail him, to get him bogged down in something other than what the Lord had for him. And of course, the consequences was he was thrown overboard on the ship that he was traveling on, and a great fish, a whale, came and swallowed him up. Keep in mind, let me just remind you, this is a true story. It's not a fairy tale, it's not an allegory or whatever. And Jesus referenced this story about Jonah in his own teaching to the disciples when he said, just like Jonah, paraphrasing, just like Jonah was 3 days in the heart of that great fish, that whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So the Lord references this event. But one of the lessons I want us to see today is not to get derailed. Don't get bogged down. Don't get sidetracked. It's so easy to do that. And yet, you know, whenever that does happen, there's this sense when you can proceed, get back on track, get back on your journey, there's this sense of relief that's like, I'm back in the saddle. I'm back where I need to be. And I would illustrate that, I would talk about maybe a journey that we would take in the car. If we wanted to drive to, let's say, Columbus, and we get on the highway, I-71, is it? Going south. We're driving, and then we get a flat tire. Or we run out of gas. Or there's an accident on the highway, and the highway is shut down. And you're sitting there. Or whatever could happen, possibly happen, and you're derailed. You're sidetracked. You're not getting where you want to go. And when you're finally to the point when you can proceed, key word there, proceed on your journey, there's a sense that comes about that's like, ah, good, I'm back on the road, I'm starting out again, I'm getting going again, and there's that sense of relief that I'm back doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Another illustration of that, personal, is when I remember when I was in Bible college, there was a semester. I just switched jobs. I left one job, went to another. And because there was a slight interim between jobs without income, I had to, couldn't make my school payment for my tuition, and I needed to sit out a semester. And that was tough because, you know, I was there to go to school. I was in that city, in that college, to get my degree, to do what Lord wanted me to do. And yet I found myself sitting out of a semester, and I wasn't studying, you know, no classes to go to, etc. And it was a bit frustrating. I was derailed, if you please. I was bogged down. I was sidetracked, maybe. Not necessarily of my own fault, just the circumstances that were around it. But my point is, when I got enrolled in the next semester and got started again, there was that feeling of, I'm back on track, I'm back on the road again, I'm back doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And you know what? It's just like that in a Christian life. If we allow ourselves to let sin derail us, sidetrack us, disobedience or whatever it is, it's very frustrating, both to us and the Lord. And there's always that great feeling of relief. It may take repentance. Remember a couple lessons ago we spoke about repentance. God never tires of true repentance. When we come to the Lord with a repentant heart, He, of course, welcomes that. So that's one aim. Another aim of this lesson is to see that our obstinate will does not change God's omniscient plan. That just might be a thing on your sheet there. Today's lesson is called The Proceeding of the Journey, which is why I gave that illustration. When we're sidetracked, things are not going as they should, or as God wants them to go, and then we get to proceed, it's like, okay, now we're going again. So, let's see what Oh no, it's not one of yours, but this one's coming up. God will never change His plans to accommodate our wishes. Since His plan is always perfect, then there is never any reason to change it. You know, Jonah, as hard as he may have tried or thought or figured that he could just change plan or change God's plan, or maybe God would change his mind, that didn't happen. And God won't change His plan for us to accommodate our own selfish wishes. And that's a big part of the lesson here. But we read here that God spoke to the fish spit Jonah out onto dry land. And I'm sure the fish, the whale, said, you know, I'm sick of this preacher. Let's get him out of here. I don't want to get him out of here. And I guess bad preachers can cause indigestion for just about anyone. But he wanted to get him out, and he did. God did that. But I want to say this, God is intensely interested in getting this world saved. And He could accomplish that by any number of ways. But listen to me, He chose us. He could announce it in the sky somehow, He could have the angels do it, all sorts of ways that God could get the job done, but He's chosen us. And of course, He chose Jonah. And Jonah needs to get with the plan here, get with the mission. God wants to use us in a big way. But along the way, He wants to be the big thing in the process. Amen? It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Alright, well, let's get into our outline here. So that's just kind of an introduction there. So as we get into today's lesson, we see a sick Constitution. And what if we could just get this whole story on video replay and see what's going on and see the fish surface and Jonah being expelled from the mouth of that fish and tumbling on the ground and, you know, seaweed wrapped around his head and his neck and so forth. And I think I said last week maybe his skin was bleached or whatever. But have you ever heard the phrase? You may have said it. You make me sick. Maybe that's what the fish was saying. You make me sick. And God made that fish sick, if you please, and He spit He vomited this backslidden preacher out and got him on the dry land. But listen to this. All God had to do was speak the word, and Jonah was back on dry land. Look at this verse here, Psalm 33:9. For he spake, and it was done. Isn't that cool? He spake, and that's how it always is. God speaks, it's done. And of course, he spoke the worlds into existence. He commanded, and it stood fast. All God had to do was just to speak it, and it took place. God spoke, and the world was created. God spoke, and Jesus arose from the grave. One day, God will speak, and we'll all be taking up the glory. God just has to speak the word. Well, as we talk about sick constitution, let's move into this first one here. It's called class dismissed. In Jonah's school days here, the curriculum has been taught, and the final exam has been given, and now Jonah is ready to graduate from Seaweed Seminary. And boy, he's learned some things in the tummy of a whale. But listen, the sooner we learn to obey God's voice, the sooner we can proceed in the journey of God's perfect will. This is an exciting lesson. I'm working my way through because there's another point that's my favorite, and we're going to get to that here soon. But we call this lesson the proceeding of the journey, and this is what's so important. Jonah hadn't done what the Lord wanted him to do. He tried to do his own thing. He went the opposite direction, in fact. He's far from doing what God wants him to do, and now we're going to see him proceed, get back on track, get unstuck in the mud, if you please, and get going what God wants him to do. And so he's proceeding. A couple good verses here. You might jot these references on your notes. Well, I didn't get those yet. Obedience is one of the best ways to show that you believe. There's a Patch the Pirate song that uses that phrase in the song. And you spell out the word obedience, and it's a little children's song, great song. Let me get, now I've got these verses here. John 14:15. I thought this was interesting. It's 14:15 and 15:14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so obedience, we've touched on obedience in other lessons. Why? Because clearly Jonah has been disobedient. And so we need to touch on obedience a little bit. But secondly, letter B, a classic delivery. What an immediate contrast to where Jonah has been for the last 3 days or so. He's been, even before he was in the whale's belly, he's in this huge storm. Then he's thrown overboard, so now he's in the water. Then the whale takes him in, and now he's in the stomach of the whale, and that's probably pretty nasty down there. And then just like that, boom, he's on dry land. What an immediate contrast. From waters, waves, and weeds to dry land. And here's what I want to say. If you have been confined to the fish's belly for the last few, whatever, months, years, maybe even decades, seemingly going nowhere for the Lord, you can bring about immediate change through simple obedience. Isn't that amazing? Jonah's going the wrong way. He's running from the Lord. And just simple obedience, just a change to say, Lord, I'm with you. I changed my mind. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Boom. And from the weeds, water, and waves to dry land. Just such an immediate change. And anybody that's away from the Lord can be back with the Lord just that quick. It's just a matter of changing of the heart, making the decision to decide to be obedient. And that can happen so easily. Psalm 41 says, 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up, this reminds me of Jonah, out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. You know, I don't know about judging the motives or the intent of Jonah, whether he was serious or just wanted to get out of a pickle. But the Lord heard his cry, and the Lord wanted to give him a second chance, and the Lord still had the same mission for him, and the Lord delivered him from the fish, put him back on dry ground, and we'll see in a moment, we'll read another verse or two here. He made his way to Nineveh and did what the Lord wanted him to do. As a believer, the blessings begin with the next step of obedience. Now, I haven't said it for a while. I used to say it really often. But this statement, God blesses obedience. Do you believe that? He blesses obedience. Of course He does. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, when we keep His commandments, we're showing Him we love Him and He'll bless that. And we just try to line up with what God wants us to do. We're not going to be perfect at it. We still battle this flesh. But when we try to line up with what God wants us to do, stay on the path, stay on the journey, don't get sidetracked. Many voices in this world trying to distract us. We just stay focused, do what God wants us to do, be obedient. Look, He will bless you. He'll bless your journey. Does it mean you won't have any hardships? Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that He will bless your life. And try to keep you on that path. So, anyway, number two here. This is what I wanted to get to. Well, sorry, I've got a verse to look at first. James 1:25. Look at the words I underlined. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that would be the Bible, amen, and continueth, so you can't just do it once, you need to stay there, he being not forgetful, so don't forget it, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of what you read, this man, what? Shall be blessed in his deed. Boy, that's a great verse and fits nicely with what we're talking about here concerning Jonah. Anyway, so point number two is a second chance. And this is probably my favorite part. Aren't you glad God is a God of a second chance? By the way, of a third chance and a fourth chance. He's so long-suffering. Something we need to learn. He's so patient. Something we need to learn. He's so merciful. Something we need to learn. He's so forbearing. Something we need to learn. Every one of us ought to thank God daily that He is, and then we quote the verse from Psalm, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. What a merciful God we serve. And we see that here in the life of Jonah as God, you know, a lot of us would have just said, you know what, Jonah? You're on your own, pal. You don't want to do what I ask you to do? Then forget, we just write him off. Just forget it, I'll get someone else who will do the job. That's how our attitude is sometimes, but not the Lord. He's like, you know what? Jonah was the man I chose for this mission. And I haven't changed my mind. My will hasn't changed. He's still the man for this job. Even though he thought he was going to do what he wanted to do, I'm going to bring him back. Had to use some difficult circumstances. He had to spend 3 nights in the belly of a whale. But now he's ready to go. He learned the lesson, hopefully. And now he's back on track. You know, that's a merciful God. That's a patient God. And again, we learn from that. Because we're the type, especially in today's world, just write people off, cut them off. You don't want to do what I say, you don't want to cooperate, then forget it, I'll get someone else. And it's so easy to do that. But God is so, so patient, merciful, and wants to use us. So in that, it leads us to this. He is an attentive Lord. He is an attentive Lord. Thankfully, we belong to a God who doesn't have voicemail. He hears us. You know, when you call out to God, He's not going to say, sorry, He's not available right now. Please leave your name and your number and He'll get back to you when He can. I'm so glad that when we call on God, He's attentive. He hears us and He's listening for us. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. And what a great promise. Listen, whenever you're feeling not so good, get you a promise like this. When you call out to God, cry unto Him, He's attentive. His ears are open unto your cry. Unless, of course, you're running the wrong direction. We touched on last week. Sometimes He doesn't want to hear. But God is, when we come to God with the right heart, right motive, He hears our prayer. Praise the Lord for that. Christ on earth, when He was on earth, we see the attentiveness that He displayed concerning the needs of people around Him. I'm thinking about the woman at the well. The woman in the well. The woman at the well, W-E-L-L. Jesus was attentive to her needs. We could think about a man up in a tree. Who was that? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from coming to your house today. He was attentive to that man who wanted to see the Lord, wanted to get to know the Lord. We see His attentiveness concerning a blind beggar. And on we could list just account after account. The Lord was attentive to the needs of people when He was on earth. And guess what? It's no different now that He's back in heaven. He's attentive to the needs of His people. And I'm so glad that we serve a God like this. You know, you are on God's contact list. You know, in your phone, you've got a contact list. Well, you're on there. You're on His list. And He cares about you, and He's concerned about you, and He's attentive to you and your needs. And what a wonderful God we serve. While we often focus, and this may be unfortunate, but I think it's because we know we're so sinful in that we fight this sinful nature. Even though God's nature is in us, we still have this battle going on, the new nature versus the old. And I think because of the old, sometimes we talk a lot about the sin and stress sin and its consequences, but it's also important to see the flip side, and that's this, that God sees you doing good. He sees the good you do. He sees you when you help someone else. He sees you when you do a kind deed. He sees you when you speak a kind word. He sees you when you pay somebody's grocery bill or whatever. He sees you doing those things, and while people may overlook your faithfulness, listen, God never does. God sees you. You know, you're here this morning being faithful to Sunday school. God sees that. And while some, you know, we may say later, hey, who was in Sunday school? I don't know. I was there. I don't know. We may overlook who was here. But you know what? God knows exactly who's here. He's very attentive to everything. And I'm so glad we serve a God like that. Well, let her be an amazing long suffering. Well, we've been talking about that already, but we'll just hit it a little bit harder here. Boy, the long suffering of the Lord. As I said, you and I may have just written Jonah off if he had defied our orders, if he had ignored our message, but not God. I want you to see verse 1 of chapter 3 again, because it's just a classic verse in Scripture. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. In fact, I would almost go out on a limb and say that's the only time we see a statement like that in Scripture. I may be wrong. But to give that second chance, actually say second time. Wow. And look what he said. It says he came the second time saying... Well, no, let's not get into that. That's the next point, actually. We'll save that. But he came to Jonah the second time. We're talking about amazing long suffering. I want you to write this down or fill these blanks in. How different our various relationships would be, and then here's some examples, at home, at work, at church, if we practiced the long suffering of the Lord. Can you imagine? We get easily stressed because of all that's upon our shoulders. And because of that, we snap at people. We get all worked up and bent out of shape, again, stressed or whatever. We're short. We're crabby. We have expectations that aren't realistic of others. But if we could display the very long suffering that God has, that Jesus has, I'm telling you, it would transform the relationships of our lives. Whether it be at work, at home, church, wherever. We're so good at talking, well, we're Christians, we're Baptists, we're saved, how often are we actually living out the attributes, the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to live out? We must do that. God commands us to walk in the Spirit and to have the fruit, to display the fruits of the Spirit. Here's a verse that's very familiar to us, should be, Ephesians 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then here's probably the most familiar verse of that passage. Be ye kind one to another. Great word. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Just a great passage. I came across these quotes, so I thought they were pretty good. Here's a man by the name of George Herbert. He was a Welsh poet and theologian many, many moons ago, I think 1800s even. But he said this, he who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself. Interesting. And then Benjamin Franklin had an interesting quote. Doing an injury or hurting someone puts you below your enemy. You've heard the phrase, don't lower yourself to their. This kind of fits in there. Puts you below your enemy. Revenging makes you but even with him. Forgiving sets you above him. I thought that was interesting. So we see a sick constitution, that was the whale, of course. We see a second chance. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And I wish I could talk much longer about that. That's just a blessing. To be able to have a second chance, a second try. And then thirdly, a same communication. A same communication. What's that mean? It means this. The assignment has not changed. Now I want us to see that. I don't think I've got it written on your sheet, the verses, but it's chapter 1, verse 2. Look at that with me. You might jot these two verses next to that phrase so you'll know what it meant. But look at verse 2 of chapter 1. And it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Right? And then we go to chapter 3, what we're reading today, verse 2. And what's it say? Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. Has the message changed? No, it's exactly the same. God says, look, Jonah, this was a long way to get, you sure took a long way to get here. But now we're here, and the message is the same. I still want you to do the exact same thing I told you days ago when I first told you, and you decide to go the other direction. You decide to get on a ship and go down. You decided to disobey and ignore what I told you. And then I had to bring a strong tempestuous wind and a storm and a big fish to teach you a little lesson. Sorry about that. But now you're like, okay, I got my bearings straight. I'm back on dry land. Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do? Well, I want you to do the same thing I told you days ago. Go to Nineveh. Get up. Arise. Go to Nineveh and preach to that city. Okay, Lord. And away he goes. So, I'll be getting ahead of myself here, but I got to show you this. This is so cool. This will be a next week's lesson. But verse 2 we're looking at. God came to Jonah the second time and said, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh and preach. Verse 3, get this. So Jonah arose, that's obedience, right? And went, obedience, unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. He's listening to God. Watch this. Now Nineveh was exceeding great city of how many days' journey? 3. Look at verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. He was hightailing it. He said, you know what? God wants me to go preach. I'm going. And so every time he thought about that whale, he just picked up his step a little bit. You know, every time he thought about that whale, he picked up the pace. In fact, he probably ran. And he got there. It was a 3-day journey. He got there in one. And so that's just kind of comical to me. But he was intent on doing what the Lord said this time. He didn't want another whale coming around. So the assignment has not changed. Listen, let me ask you this question this morning. Listen carefully. What has God asked you to do, but you haven't done it yet? What is it? Don't wait for a big fish to come your way to teach you that lesson that Jonah had to learn. What is it? And I'm not going to take time to list the things that Baptists like to talk about from the Bible. What is it? What are just basic things that God expects from us that you don't do? And God clearly says in His Word, you know, as a believer, as a person who's my child, I saved you, and as that kind of a person, I expect you to do A, B, C, and D. Is it after all I've done for you? I died on a cross for you. I paid for your sin. I sacrificed my only begotten Son. Is it asking too much just to live for me and to do these things? Well, are you doing those things? Are you obedient to the Lord? You say, well, He'll come to me a second time. Yeah, He probably will. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. We talked about that already. But we also learned from previous lessons that why didn't Jonah just listen the first time? He could have avoided a lot of problems, a lot of heartache. Amen? And he had the lives of those sailors. He was responsible for them. So what is it that the Lord has asked you to do, but you haven't done it? Guess what? He hasn't changed His mind. He still wants you to do it. I think it's interesting that God asks, I mean, there's general things that we all should do. We all should tithe. We should all be a witness. We should all read our Bibles. We should all pray. Then there's things God asks us specifically to do because we're the only one, perhaps, that could get it done. It might be witness to a certain person because they would listen to us where they might not listen to someone else. You follow me? There's certain things that maybe only we could do. God asks us to do it. And no one else is going to do it. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. God's waiting for you to do it. Anyway, let's move on. So letter A, man can abuse God's patience. Now, this is where we have to be careful. What do I mean by that? Well, that's the actual next statement there. Don't think that because God is patient and long-suffering, that you have plenty of time to serve Him later. That's what we call frustrating the grace of God. Don't frustrate the grace of God. In fact, Paul said in Galatians, I do not frustrate the grace of God. It means to set it aside. It means to not place much worth on what God has said. It means to think little of it, of God's grace and what He's asked us to do. So we don't frustrate the grace of God. And I've met plenty of people who do that. Say, oh, well, I'll do it later. You know, I've got plenty of time. Well, we don't know how much time we have. And so we have to be careful. Just because God's patient and long-suffering, we shouldn't have the attitude, oh, I'll get to it someday. And when I get around to it, that shouldn't be our attitude. You know, God was patient with the people of Noah's day as well. And His patience eventually ran out. This is a kind of a sad verse in the Bible. It's Genesis 6:3, part A. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We touched on this in an earlier lesson. Even though God is so plenteous in mercy and so long-suffering and so patient, I think there is a line that's there somewhere when He says, you know what? I'm not going to work with you anymore. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to obey me. And He works and works and works to bring us back into line and try to bring us in and woo us back. But according to this verse, I think there's a line out there somewhere, and I don't want to frustrate God and test to see where that line is. So that leads us to say this, since you don't know where God's line is, then it doesn't make sense to keep walking that way. Does that make sense? Letter B. So man can abuse God's patience, and shame on us if we do try to do that. Don't test God's patience. Just do what He wants you to do. Man cannot alter God's plan, letter B. Well, the obvious question, that statement begs this question, well, why would we want to? God's plan is perfect. His plan is the ultimate plan. It's perfect. You can't improve on perfect. Whatever God has in plan, that's the perfect plan. And, we read the story of Jonah and him coming up with his own plan. This statement here, we spend all of our energy trying to devise a plan that is better than God's, only to realize in the end that His plan was impeccable. And boy, that's so true. God's plan is the perfect plan. And we shouldn't try to alter it. We shouldn't expect God to come up with a different plan in the life of Jonah. It was God's plan for Jonah to go to Nineveh. And God wasn't going to budge on that. There's a story, it's kind of comical, but a story about a captain of a ship. And on a dark, stormy, foggy night, he spotted a light out there in the distance that was in direct line of where the ship was traveling. So he tells the signal man to send a message, alter your course 10 degrees south. And well, a message came back that said, alter your course 10 degrees north. He was shocked that this person had the audacity to answer back like that. He said, send a second message, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. And a signal came back and said, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman First Class Jones or whatever. And he was really outraged. Now he says, send his third message. This will get him. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. He thought that would just strike fear to those people. Message came back. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. Guess what? The lighthouse isn't moving, folks. So I thought that's a good story concerning what we're talking about here. God isn't going to move. We need to be the one that lines up with His course. So let's close with this. Have you been sidetracked with sin? Our lesson is entitled The Proceeding of the Journey. If you're sidetracked, we want to proceed. We want to get back on the highway. We want to get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. Have you been occupied with trying to change God's plan? Well, it's a perfect plan. Don't try to change it. And lastly, God offers a second chance. Take it! Take it. Amen? Take it. And proceed with your journey. Amen.